What's up, Ivy League Hoop fans? How are you? It's Inside Ivy Hoops. Brett Franklin, Jill Glessner with you. Back for another exciting edition of the podcast. Hope you're doing well. Recording this on a Thursday, February 22nd, 2018. And the Ivy League grind continues. And boy, it's looking like it's going to come down to the wire for both the men and the women's side of things. And again, I defy you to tell me that this tournament is not fun here in the Ivy League, Joe, because this is why the tournament was built here in the Ivy League. This is why we have it, to have meaningful basketball here in these last few weeks. This is great. This is fun.
This is why it's the February madness. It's the madness before March madness.
The madness before the madness.
Yes.
And it's good madness. And I'm really looking forward to it. We've got a great show here on the podcast. We're going to have Robert Crawford covers Harvard men's and women's basketball for Ivy Hoops Online. So we're really excited to have him. We'll also have Belko Klonis, the head women's basketball coach at Dartmouth. She'll join us coming up here in a big weekend for the Big Green, coming off a huge weekend last weekend, a sweep at Brown and Yale. And this weekend we'll host Princeton and Penn. So we'll get the coach's thoughts on that. And let's just start with women's basketball here, Jill. And looking at the standings coming in to this weekend, we've got Princeton sitting atop the Ivies at 9-1. Penn comes in at 8-2. And then we've got the tie for third place. We've got Dartmouth, Harvard, Yale all at 6-4, Brown and Cornell at 2-8, and Columbia at 1-9. First off, just your thoughts from last weekend, Jill, and then we'll look at the tiebreaker here as we go forward. But just your general overall thoughts from what you saw last weekend in Ivy League women's hoops.
I mean, you got to credit, like you just said, Dartmouth had a huge road sweep that basically kept them in the runnings to get to the Palestra.
Down 13 in the Yale contest.
Headed into the fourth quarter. And, I mean, Kate Lekowitz having the game of her life, 29 points, who's a senior for them. Andy Norman had the biggest three of her career, hitting a three with 5 seconds to go. So the Dartmouth sweep, I think, stands out the most. But you also have to realize Princeton and Penn, since they had that matchup on a Tuesday, they played 5 games in 8 days. You know, that's hard to do. You know, they are sitting atop the league, but, you know, hopefully they are rested and recovered, because they know how big of a weekend this upcoming weekend is.
You look at this weekend here, and you look at Dartmouth. Actually, let's go back to last weekend real quick, and I just wanted to make a point against Yale. I mean, remember, we talked to Richard Ken earlier this season and just talked about that it's kind of been an uneven year as far as results go, some head-scratching losses, and to be up 13 in your own building and just to have it collapse late in that game. And this is a Yale team that defensively really gave Dartmouth fits here up in Hanover. I mean, what happened there in that final stretch for the Bulldogs?
I think it's more so of what, not necessarily what Yale didn't do, it's what Dartmouth did do, and they just shot the ball really, really well. But you have to credit Yale. Yale had a quick turnaround and had a really crucial win versus Harvard.
Right.
Whereas if you're a Dartmouth
right.
fan, you were cheering for Harvard because then you would have gained
right.
a game. So they celebrated after that win like they should have, because that solidified their spot. Because in that tiebreaker, Brett, Yale's in third.
Right. And we should mention, you know, I should have mentioned that coming off the tough loss Friday, a huge bounce back win against Harvard. It was actually a very good game. We were watching the ending up here in Hanover, and it was a great bounce back win. But the Friday night one, that hurts if you're Yale. But if you're Dartmouth, that's what you had to do. And probably right now, one of the biggest wins in the Belko Klonis era. And maybe that could come another time here this weekend. And looking at this weekend, Jill, you know, before we take the review of last weekend, again, Harvard or Dartmouth, if they can just get a split, or if you're Harvard, you can get a split. You want Dartmouth to go 0-for, same vice versa for the Big Green. If big weekend for both of these teams, and they're both very good at home. What Harvard team are we going to see here this weekend? And for Dartmouth, can they continue to play well at Leed Arena?
And I think, I mean, Coach McLaughlin at Penn and Courtney Banghart at Princeton, they know that this is a really, really important weekend. And just because they beat them handedly at home does not mean that those are going to be the same results. I mean, like you just said, Dartmouth and Harvard playing really, really well at home. And you remember, Dartmouth beat Princeton the last game of the season last year, and they had no business beating Princeton. So Princeton and Penn, they're not a lock for the Ivy tournament, but you know, last year, Courtney explained kind of that loss was due to the fact that her kids were kind of checked out, already looking at the Ivy tournament. So, you know, if you're a Harvard or Dartmouth fan, you want to hope that Princeton and Penn are looking past this weekend.
But there is something to play for Penn and Princeton this weekend, though.
The top seed.
So there is that other added element here. If I'm a Dartmouth fan or a Harvard fan, you would have loved to catch them on the last weekend if they had wrapped everything up. But let's go back to last weekend here and just review some of the scores. I mean, it kind of went the way we had thought. Penn took care of Columbia in New York City on that Friday night contest, 75-39. Harvard outdueled Brown, 86-74 in Providence. Of course, we talked about the Dartmouth and Yale game, 64-62 win for the Big Green, and Princeton took care of Cornell in Ithaca. Going back to that Dartmouth-Yale game, what was impressive about that, of course, Andy Norman hits the game tying or the game winning three, eventual game winning three, after really having a quiet night. And that's kind of the sense I get from teams that are chasing for the tournament. You know, you're going to need that certain someone, maybe off the bench or an unsung hero, that's going to be able to step up. And Dartmouth had that in the Yale game, and it was on display. But credit the Big Green from the come from behind effort. It would have been easy to fold down 13 on the road, a place you haven't had much success at, and to come away with it in overtime was very impressive.
And you have to remember, too, is Olivia Smith went down. So
right. They
could have folded before they even showed up, right? Losing one of their, you know, top scorers post-presence. So Dartmouth isn't necessarily a deep team to begin with, and then they lose a player like Olivia Smith. But so you have to credit the kind of seven-player rotation that Coach Coclanis has used, you know, but they're playing significant minutes, so recovery is going to be huge.
You look at the Harvard win against Brown, they had six players in double-digit scoring led by Katie Benson, and you think really for Harvard, if they're going to make a run here, it's going to be on the heels of number three, Katie Benson, because when she's on, she's on.
And I think, and something to note, Brett, for the first time all season, all the away teams won on a night.
That's right.
So Penn, Harvard, Dartmouth, Princeton, all away teams. Because I was going to say, Harvard scoring 86 at home doesn't surprise me. It does surprise me on the road.
Interesting point there. After the home dominance, we finally get a weekend, at least in the Ivy League, on the women's side of things to get some road victories. Looking at the Saturday night contests, Princeton took care of Columbia 74-46. Dartmouth beat Brown 77-60 in Providence. It was Penn 53, Cornell 39 in Ithaca, and then Yale with a big win over Harvard in New Haven. Like you said, a big bounce-back win for the Bulldogs. What was the difference from Friday night to Saturday night for the Bulldogs?
They made plays down the stretch. You know, it was back and forth. I mean, they started the game really well. You know, I think it was like 12-5 at one point. Harvard punched back, and it was a battle back and forth. But when they needed plays, they made plays down at crunch time.
You look at some of the big players for Yale. Roxy Berriman had 20 points, 17 for Jen Berkowitz. Tamara Simpson had 10. Tori Andrew had 14 coming off the bench. So, like you said, it was timely buckets and some big games from some of the big names you would expect for Allison Guth and company. Also, looking at that Saturday, Jill, Dartmouth coming off a went over Brown, and what was interesting in that was you mentioned the minutes that was played Friday night for the Big Green to come out, put up 77 points, and really dominate that game down in Providence against Brown. That was impressive for the Big Green, but the woes continue for the Bears this season.
I mean, Brett, I would have to say, I mean, the Brown season is, I want to say, most disappointing, most shocking to me. I know we've talked about the Taylor Will injury, but, you know, Sarah Bain was interviewed after that game, and she looked so defeated and just saying that, you know, her team has lacked confidence. And when Taylor Will went down, she thought they were going to respond better, but that they're lacking a confidence, and that she's hopeful that these last four games they're able to put a product out there that's more representative of who they are. But I will say, watching the game, it was just their shot selection just wasn't the greatest. If you have a player like Gaziano or Shayna Mehta on your team, like, you can't go stretches without them touching the ball. But that's kind of the way that they play, right? Kick it up, and if you're open, shoot it. But so, you know, Dartmouth did a good job defending, so you had their, like, third, fourth, fifth best offensive scorers taking shots. And Sarah Bain mentioned that they've been having 4 to 5 minute stretches where they don't score, and in this league, that's going to lose you games.
All right, time to look at this weekend's matchups, Jill, and we'll start with the Friday night, and Cornell takes on Yale. 6 o'clock tip-off down in New Haven, and for Yale, if they can take care of business this weekend, they'll set themselves up here pretty nicely going into next weekend if everything holds the way that the Bulldogs hope it holds.
They need to. I mean, you would hate for Allison Guth, who's had this success. They had that huge win over Harvard, to have that letdown against a Cornell Columbia. And they should sweep the weekend on paper, but as we know, this is the Ivy League, and especially that Saturday game, which we'll talk about, is always a coin flip.
Columbia is at Brown on ESPN3, 6 o'clock tip-off at Providence. I do want to make sure we give some props here to Camille Zimmerman and what she's doing at Columbia. I mean, she is just a scoring machine. I believe over 1,800 points at this point. She's top 10 in the Ivy League scoring of all time. I mean, pretty special what's going down there in New York City for Columbia.
Well, it's interesting, Brett, because with a player like Camille Zimmerman, you would think that their offense would be better than it is. And they're in the Ivy League, they're dead last. They shoot 34%. And I think because Camille Zimmerman is such a great scorer, that the other four players on the floor, are very dependent on her. So it causes some stagnancy in the offense for Meg Griffith and her squad.
Two big games on the Friday night. Harvard hosts Penn. Again, what type of team does Harvard become here this time at home? And if passes any indication, it'll be pretty good.
And I think I want to quote Michelle Wachetti here. It's a credit to Coach McLaughlin how he has his players locked in. But, you know, you would think from an outsider, you know, Penn handled both Dartmouth and Harvard in game one, right, by double-digit scoring. But right. Wachetti's quoted saying, we know this is going to be a really tough weekend, probably one of the toughest. So they know that this isn't going to be a breeze for them, and they're going to come locked in, ready to go.
Dartmouth hosts Princeton, 7 o'clock tip-off, ESPN3. And again, you mentioned Harvard and Dartmouth. I mean, if either of those two teams can get a split this weekend and have either Dartmouth or Harvard go over, that's huge. And like you said, Penn knows it. Does Princeton know that as well?
Princeton's very aware of it. And I'm pretty sure Courtney Banger has not forgotten about that loss to end the regular season last year at Dartmouth. So I'm sure she's, you know, is uber sensitive to make sure they're not looking way ahead, but they're focused on the big green tomorrow night.
Saturday contests have Cornell at Brown. Columbia is at Yale. Princeton at Harvard. And then Penn is at Dartmouth. Your thoughts on some of the Saturday contests?
You know, goodness, Brett. I'm going to go with, I mean, the home teams. And I think it all depends on, again, this is not the answer you're looking for, but it depends on the results on the Friday. So I think a Harvard or Dartmouth is going to split this weekend.
You do?
I do. I do not think that Princeton and Penn are going to sweep. So if, you know, I think Dartmouth matches up a little bit better with Princeton in terms of their playing man-to-man defense. So if Dartmouth gets the win on Friday, I'm giving the win to Penn on that Saturday, if that makes sense.
And, Joe, let's take a look at the tiebreaker scenario as we head into this weekend.
We have Dartmouth, Harvard, Yale all sitting at 6-4. If the Ivy League tournament, Brett, is tomorrow, Dartmouth is out, Yale and Harvard are in. And the tiebreaker goes, first layer of the tiebreaker is head-to-head. And they've all split with one another. So then you go to the next layer, which is their record against higher seeds. And Yale might not have known it at the time, but their win over Princeton was huge. So they jumped to take that third spot. That leaves Dartmouth, Harvard still tied because neither of them have beaten Princeton or Penn yet. And so it goes to average RPI. And right now, Harvard has a higher RPI than Dartmouth. So Dartmouth is on the outside looking in.
And that's why if you're Dartmouth or Harvard and you can get a split this weekend, that would go a long way into helping your case to getting to the Palestra. Okay, cool.